A man named Jim Barrett was in his 40s when he made a mid-career correction.
I was a lawyer in Los Angeles, and that got kind of boring, so I wanted to do something else, and I've been doing this since 1972.
This is operating a California winery. He now runs Chateau Montelena with his son, Beau Barrett.
Ours happens to be a 130-year-old stone structure modeled on a French chateau.
That building's product stood up to French wine at a famous competition in 1976, which is why this family business became the basis for the recent movie Bottle Shock.
In honor of your bicentennial, I'm organizing a tasting.
What do you want?
To taste your Chardonnay.
Plenty of palatable wines around here. You don't have to worry about that.
My definition of palatable might be slightly different from yours.
You're a snob.
Am I?
This winery forced wine snobs to admit for the first time that a Napa Valley wine could match a bottle from Europe. It changed the industry. Now, as many people prepare to open a bottle on this New Year's Eve, the Barrett's Winery is the latest subject of our series, The Family Business. This week we've met father-son singers, mother-daughter writers, and now proprietors of the Chateau Montelena. It's passed through two generations and could make it to a third. Have any of you ever actually stomped grapes?
I did a lot when I was a little kid. My sister and I, we'd just get in, jump around, and not too practical, but it's lots of fun.
That's Chelsea Barrett, a granddaughter of Jim Barrett, the lawyer who bought the place so long ago. Jim Barrett, once you'd spent a few years in the vineyards, did you get to thinking that you wanted to pass on this business to one of your five children?
Well, it's a thought that every father has, of course, and Beau's having that pleasant thought right now with respect to Chelsea, and it's just really something that is always in your mind. Beau and I have worked together, not just as father and son, but as CEO, if you will, and winemaker for a long, long time.
Well, tell me what happened when you, Beau, went to you, Jim, your father, and said, I'm ready. I want to take over the wine business. I want to be the head winemaker.
That's a good story. In about 1980 or something, I had about 10 years of experience by that time in the cellar, and I'd been out of school for a few years. And I had a difference of opinion with my boss, his name was Jerry Looper, our winemaker, and I went to my dad, and I said, you know, Jerry's not doing as good a job as he could. And my dad said, that's insubordination. You better move on, kid. So I basically...
I want us to understand this. You were working at the family business, and you said, I don't think my boss, my supervisor that you've hired, Dad, is doing a very good job, and your dad chose the supervisor over you.
It was a heated discussion, which ended up with me basically stomping out of there and loading up my pickup and heading down the road.
Jim Barrett?
Who's that guy? Now would you like to hear the rest of the story?
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Paul, yeah, you got it. Anyhow, he comes in, and I said, hi, Beau, what's happening? He says, well, Dad, I'm ready. And I said, ready for what? He said, to be winemaker here. And I said, did you say here? I about fell out of my chair. I said, Beau, Jerry's done a great job. I'm not into nepotism. I'm not firing him to give you the hotshot job here. I said, this is a serious business. He says, well, I'm leaving. I said, I don't blame you. I would, too, if I were you. About a year goes by, and Jerry Looper says to me, well, I got to talk to you, Jim. And I said, what's that? And he says, well, somebody's offering me two bags of gold, you know, because...
Oh, your supervisor that you'd hired went away from you.
Yeah, he was the winemaker here. And I had asked him, I said, well, who should be the winemaker? And he said, my son, Beau, should be the winemaker. And I said, hey, this is serious business. And he says, no, he says, he is the most well-qualified. He knows the winery. And I said, okay, now I got a problem. Here's my son.
And now you got to somehow recruit him back.
Yeah, so I'm in the shower, and all I can think about, I said, how do I broach this? So I call him on the phone, and I said, how would you like to be a winemaker at one of the most famous wineries in California? And he says, I'll think about it, and hung up.
Beau?
I thought about it for a while, and I said, well, it is a really great career opportunity. It is a wonderful place. I do know it. I know I can do the work and get the wine made. So basically, I went back and I said to my dad, I said, listen, I think this is a great opportunity for me, but we have to be very strict and separate our father-son relationship. That was the first discussion we had. It was before we talked about how much I'm going to get paid or what do I see for the winery. It was like, okay. And so we sat down and actually eye to eye, I said, look, if you can treat me with the same respect that you've shown to your Jerry, a good employer-employee relationship built on trust and honesty, and then we can separate to ourselves our father-son deal, the natural and inherent tensions that any father and son would have to have. And that's what we did. It was the first thing we set out. And I have to give credit that over the 25 years that we've worked together, it's that we've always gone back to that first discussion, which is, I am now wearing my employee hat.
Oh, now, come on. Everybody must say this at that moment, but it must be awfully hard to do.
It is. There's no avoiding that. It's a difficult thing. But the best way to do that is don't do anything wrong. Don't get chewed out. Always perform.
What's it like to ask your father for a raise?
That's not fun.
it's not fun.
What's it like to ask your father for a raise? It's awkward. Again, like everything else, I'm kind of a science and math-based kind of guy. So I always think arithmetic is not emotional. And so my approach to asking for a raise is just showing a set of figures, and typically it's a comparable of what other people in my job are making. So it's not personal, it's not emotional. It just shows, here's the numbers, and here's what the numbers say.
It must be hard work, though, to make sure you don't feel like you're asking for an increase on your allowance.
Well, let me amplify that also. We have moments where I'm furious with him and he's furious with me, but being Irish, we kiss and make up and hug each other, and it's going on for a long time, and it's been great.
That's Jim and Bo Barrett of California's Chateau Montelena. They're the latest subjects of our series, The Family Business. Bo Barrett's daughter, Chelsea, is a college student now studying winemaking. Last summer, she worked in the family winery's tasting room. Did you do the tasting?
Yes, I did. And so I'd pour for people, sell wine, deal with wine clubs, all of that.
How old are you? You're 21?
Well, am I going to get in trouble?
Not for me.
All right, I'm 20.
Okay, all right. But you're tasting it. You swill it around in your mouth and you...
Oh, absolutely. It's not illegal if you give it a swirl and analyze it.
You can analyze the stories of other people who've passed on a family business by visiting our website, npr.org. We'd also like to invite you to tell us if you know of a family business with an amazing story behind it. Just go to the website, click on Contact Us, and put Family Business in the subject line.